أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعلى أهل بيت الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين. روحي وأرواح العالمين له الفداء. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. So dear brothers and sisters in Islam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Welcome to our last and final program. Alhamdulillah, we've had the tawfiq from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to collectively review Surah At-Taghabun. And by the grace of Allah, we were trying to derive lessons, practical reminders, inshallah, that will help us better ourselves and ready the world for the coming of our Imam. Now, before I go to the tafsir part of the program, there are two reminders that I would like to give. The first one is regarding the month of Ramadan. So this year, as you know, brothers and sisters, for those who follow the leader, Imam Khamenei, then there was a little bit of confusion when it came to when was the first day of the month. For those who follow Ayatollah Sistani, may Allah protect him, no, nothing has changed. But for those who follow the leader, then no, there was confusion. The reason is that there was new guidance that we were not aware of in the beginning of the month. And that led to, let's say for myself, when I made shared my understanding, that was based on the previous information. But there's new information that's out there. It's now available on the website. And actually, brothers and sisters, we tried to promote the lecture that Sheikh Amin gave recently, Sheikh Amin Rastani, may Allah protect him, in the Mizan Institute. He gave a very good explanation on to how the optical aid works, what is the new guidance, and this is information that has been corroborated by the office. So we all refer to the expert, Sheikh Ali Rida Muwahidin Najat. He is the one who the brothers would refer to and make sure that their understanding is clear. What Sheikh Amin does over there is to explain that there is a reason why someone could misunderstand the fatwa. So he goes through that. Why is it that people, for instance, might think that if it's seen in California, in Southern California, then it counts, let's say, for Michigan. So he goes through that. He explains why somebody could honestly have that takeaway. But he explains that that's not the correct understanding. He also goes through the new information that's been released by the office and the map that the office is asking everybody to go by for this year, the map that they gave. So it's a very good discussion. Even for houses students, it's beneficial. I'm sure anyone, because there's questions, well, what is this? Why are announcements being made? Again, if somebody is following Ayatollah Sistani, then nothing changes for them. May Allah protect him and protect them. But if somebody is making taqlid to the leader, then yes, that information is very relevant. And it's also entertaining. Alhamdulillah, he has a gift for explaining in such a way that for that period of time, you're fully engaged. You follow along with the discussion. Very nice discussion. So inshallah, the first thing was that brothers and sisters, inshallah, can take advantage of that. The second thing was, honestly, I wanted to thank each and every one of you, and especially our volunteers for this month of Ramadan. Alhamdulillah, this has been a wonderful month of Ramadan from many points of view. I consider these things to be victories from Allah. So I want to mention some of the victories. First of all, we're thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but maybe they can be lessons and takeaways for us as believers. So what were some of the things that were a little different this month? One of them was that, alhamdulillah, by the grace of Allah, we had the tawfiq of breaking bread together many times. Inshallah, tonight will be the sixth time that we'll gather and we'll eat together, we'll spend time with one another, we'll have conversations with one another, and that was actually very good this month. Alhamdulillah, inshallah, hopefully it can go, you know, we can continue going forward. May Allah reward all of those who were part of this. I just want to mention some of the ahadith that we have that remind us about this importance of feeding others, of breaking bread, sitting down with believers. And I always usually talk about the idea of if there's a new face, then we definitely want to be inviting, say salams. But today, inshallah, let's look at some of the ahadith that talk about the rewards of these things. Hopefully it becomes something that we continue to do. So once we have in the ahadith this, that a man grabbed the steed of the bridle of the steed of Rasulullah. So the Prophet is riding a horse, camel, mule, whatever. A man grabs the bridle of the steed. When he grabs the bridle of the steed, he asks the Prophet a very important question. He says this, Ya Rasulullah. So he's addressing Prophet Muhammad. He says, Ayyul a'mal afdal. What is the best of actions? What's the best thing that I could do? The best of actions. And the Prophet responds saying, It'am ut-ta'am. Feeding people, breaking bread together, inviting people over. The wonderful thing about us doing it collectively is that we all have an opportunity to somehow, even if it's a small amount, we participate in feeding everybody else. Maybe we wouldn't be able to invite this many mu'mini into our own homes. Inshallah, brothers and sisters are inviting people over to their homes. But this is another way that inshallah we can be part of that reward. So he says two things. One of them was it'amu ta'am, so feeding people. The other one he says, ityabul kalam, speaking to people nicely, having those pleasant conversations, engaging in conversations. Actually, this is one of the ways that you and I, we can gain Allah's pleasure. We see somebody, we engage in conversation, we talk to them, so that's one of them. This second one actually is maybe one that maybe we can use it more for the idea of if we see a new person being the first to say salams, making sure that we make the other mu'min or mu'mina feel welcome and feel comfortable. This one is from Imam Baqir. So he says this, Inna Allah yuhib. Truly Allah loves two things. One, it'am at-ta'am. He loves it when people feed one another. And he says, wa ifsha'a salam. Passing salams. And as you and I know, the reward for being the first person to pass salams is 99. The reward for returning the salams, the wajib salam, that's one. So 99 for being the first. How are you? Assalamu alaikum. How are you? Welcome. We want to be making sure we do these things. The other reminder, what I felt was a victory, and alhamdulillah, we've been doing this for a while, but it was beautiful, was that every night before the speech began, actually there was a reminder about our brothers and sisters in Palestine. Right now, you and I, alhamdulillah, we're able to break bread together, we're able to pray together, we do it in security, we have security. Our brothers and sisters, as you know, especially those in North Gaza, they're breaking bread with grass. And some of you have seen the videos. They're literally mu'minin and mu'minat who are starving to death. It would not be right for us to have a month of Ramadan and all we do is worry about ourselves and talk about other issues without connecting the dots, remembering the oppressed. So one of the things that alhamdulillah happened was that this time we were able to remember the oppressed. We connected the dots. And Islam is a religion that's like that. From an Islamic point of view, we don't see that being spiritual, working on ourselves, treading the spiritual path, that that's separate and mutually exclusive to being politically and socially active. Actually, in Islam, we do both. We have our social and political responsibilities. We also have our personal self-building. We also have the akhlaq that we interact with others. All of that is part of Islam. As you know, brothers and sisters, two of the wars of the Prophet, so we don't have anyone who is more spiritual than Prophet Muhammad. Two of the wars in Islam, the Battle of Badr and the conquest of Mecca, took place in Shahr Ramadan. There's no conflict between the two. When you look at the spiritual instructions of the Urafa for their students, sometimes we see them specifically saying and reminding, make sure you pray for Palestine. Make sure you pray for the victory of the resistance. Other people are losing their lives. Right? In Yemen, they're being bombed for standing up for the truth. In Lebanon, they're offering shuhada. In Iraq, they are suffering. But they're saying that, no, it wouldn't be right when I can do something to help my brothers and sisters that I sit on the sidelines and I say that that's not my fight. That also, even Allama Tabatabai, by the way, If you look at some of the things that the Savak, that the feared secret police, or there in the time of the Shah, that they wrote about Allama Tabatabai. So we've heard more about him being a mufassir of the Quran, one of the great Urafa. Sometimes we don't know the role that he played in the revolution and even his political activities before the revolution. So one of the things that the Savak drew the Savak's attention was this: Allama Tabatabai, may Allah bless him and raise him with the Anbiya. Prior to the revolution hasn't become victorious yet, he had opened a bank account. Him, Shahid Mutahari, others, they opened a bank account in the time of the Shah, where Israel, I mentioned, was a red line. Allama Tabatabai had opened a bank account so that believers could funnel money to the armed resistance in Palestine. The Savak found out about it. So another one of the brothers, what he did was to take that money that had been gathered, go to Hajj, and over there distribute it to the Palestinians. But again, inshallah, brothers and sisters, see that connection, that irfan, spirituality, getting closer to God. There's no conflict between that and supporting the oppressed and fighting for the oppressed. This brings me to the reminder about the Day of Quds. Brothers and sisters, you and I, we shouldn't underestimate the importance of the Day of Quds. Now, you and I, we've heard from our ulama the idea of the protest that take place here in America, the pressure that can be put on the American administration. Alhamdulillah, the masses are moving, but you and I, what are we doing? We're waiting for our imam. We shouldn't underestimate the spiritual rewards of attending a Quds Day rally, especially for those brothers and sisters whose hearts are burning when they see what's going on in Palestine. There's some individuals who literally, when they hear, watch those videos, for them, it just takes everything. They wish they could rip the heart out of Israel themselves. They just can't. Allah hasn't put everyone in a position that they could physically take on those zalimeen. So what can you do? Brothers and sisters, Allah looks at our hearts. Our hearts. What would we have done if we were there? If we had the opportunity to help the oppressed, to make it so that these babies wouldn't be starving, people wouldn't be able to attack the ICU, people wouldn't be able to shoot the elderly, and then the commander pat them on the back and say, good job, you shot him, he had raised his hands, right? What would we do if we were there? For sure, we would hurt the Zionists. If your attendance of the Quds Day rally is because this is the best you can do, the reward of it is tremendous. There are certain things on Yawm al-Qiyamah, inshallah, brothers and sisters, when we see one another on Yawm al-Qiyamah, one of the things that you'll be pleasantly surprised by will be actions that your heart was there. You really wished you could be there. But Allah hadn't put you there in that time. I wasn't there in Karbala. I wasn't there at the time of Amir al-Mu'mineen. I wasn't able to be a human shield for Sayyidina Fatima at her door. I just wasn't born at that time. But my heart was there. This hadith is from Amir al-Mu'mineen. It's in Nahj al-Balagha. Remember this on the Quds Day. Why is this important to Imam Mahdi? So a man came back. This was after the Battle of Jamal. The Battle of Jamal. Salawat, please. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. After the Battle of Jamal, a man came over, one of the mu'mineen. He told Amir al-Mu'mineen this. He said, I wish my brother was here to see how Allah granted you victory. This is a heartfelt feeling. Brother already shaheed, not here. I wish my brother was here. Now Amir al-Mu'mineen in charge, winning. The Imam asked him a question. He said, was your brother's heart with us? The man said, absolutely. Then the Imam reassured him, and he reassured us. Hadith. The Imam said this. Salawat, please. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Muhammad. Qal. So he said, faqad shahidana. Your brother was present. Your brother has already gone on to meet Allah. What was your brother's heart? Was he with Amir al-Mu'mineen? 100%. He was present. The Imam says he was present. And then he says something else. He says, وَلَقَدْ شَهِدَنَا فِي عَسْكَرِنَا هَذَا. In addition to him, there's others who are present in our battle, in our camp, with us, fighting alongside us. Others, he said, قَوْمٌ, a group of people, فِي أَسْلَابِ الرِّجَالِ وَأَرْحَامِ النِّسَاءِ, people who haven't even been born yet. They haven't been born yet. But when Allah brings them into this world, they're going to say, if I was there at Jamal, I would have fought alongside Ali. If I was there in the time of Sayyidina Fatima, I would have stood outside that door. If I was there in Karbala, so help me God, I would have been with Hussein. For these people, the Imam says to these people, and he continues, he says, they will be born later, and faith will be strengthened through them. But your stances are important. You'll be pleasantly surprised when you see the amal on Yawm al-Qiyamah, that I was there in Gaza, I was defending. It depends on us. Depends on our niyyah. So brothers and sisters, that second reminder was about the importance of the Quds Day rally, and what I was happy with was that we were connecting the dots, remembering, why are we here? What are we doing? Why are we fasting? So that was another reminder about that. The other thing that was beautiful this month was that we had the tawfiq of praying together. Alhamdulillah. Allah gave us the tawfiq. This time, it just worked out like that. Sometimes the month of Ramadan, it won't work out like that. This time, Allah granted that tawfiq. Praying together is something special too. That's something we want to thank Allah for. There is a hadith. Sometimes you would find this hadith written in the Risala of our Maraja, talking about the thawab of praying and praying in congregation. Some people are very good about praying, but the idea of praying in congregation, they don't give as much importance to that. What is the thawab of praying with other mu'mineen and mu'minat? The hadith says this: if one person joins the imam, then each rakat has the reward of 150 prayers that we pray by ourselves. 150 prayers, praying by myself. If I pray in jama'ah, each rakat, 150. If two join, each rakat, 600 prayers that are offered in furada. The hadith continues, until the number reaches 10. What happens if it's 10, if it exceeds 10? The hadith says this: if the skies were paper, and the seas were ink, and the trees were pens, and the jinn, the men, and malaika were writers and scribes, they would not be able to write the thawab of even one rakat. So this is another tawfiq that Allah granted us this month. We're very appreciative of it. The other one that I wanted to thank everybody for was obviously the efforts that we all put in together, right? Obviously, whoever put in more, but I would put it this way, a growing sense of belonging to the mu'mineen and mu'minat. So what you'll notice is that when it comes to us breaking bread together, you'll see an increasing number of believers who are also helping out with cleaning up, right? They feel a sense of belonging. This isn't somebody else's job. This is my chance to serve other believers. A greater sense of belonging, that believers are coming together, eating together, talking, sharing, speaking, and then after that, even when it comes to the cleanup, believers are part of that. Again, you and I, we just don't know the rewards of serving the Ahlul Bayt. We don't know who they are. So because we don't know who they are, we can't see why our maraja would say, and I've told you the story of the marja who would take the shoes of people who are zawar of the Ahlul Bayt. People would come for the majlis. The marja is serving tea. We just don't know the rewards. But now that growing sense of belonging means that we're starting to understand this. And as a community, we're sensing this. And this is something that is very good. You see this in the efforts of our shuhada. Our shuhada love to serve. Any opportunity they would serve. The commanders were like this. I remember one of our commanders, his name was Shahid Mahdi Baqiri. So Shahid Mahdi Baqiri, he's a commander. Again, they're such young men when they go back to meet Allah. All of these stories are before they go back to meet Allah. So they're so young, sometimes people would see them and not know this guy is the commander of the entire base. But brothers and sisters, it's up to you and I how we use our youth. We can get those maqamat. So Mahdi Baqiri, the commander of the entire unit, he was over and he was checking on the warehouses, making sure that the supplies were there, everybody has what they need, this, that, and the other. And there was another older gentleman who was also there. But he was in charge of the warehouse. Everybody has a responsibility. So he sees a young man come over, and he's checking on the warehouse. So he said, "Young man, what are you doing? Come over here. Don't just stand around. We have some things to take out of these trucks." He doesn't know he's talking to the commander of the entire base, the Farmande. He doesn't know. So he sees a young man over there. "So come." What he didn't know was that Shahid Mahdi, at this time, he had been shot recently in his shoulder. So he's injured as well. Okay? But Shahid doesn't say anything. The older gentleman says, "Come, we need to..." And he was over unloading from the truck. But the thing is, they said he was working so hard, Hajj Amrullah was like, he was just standing and seeing that this was CG. Now, this guy is incredible. One of the other brothers came to... He's coming by, he's going to deliver a report to this senior official. So he came over to deliver a report, and he tells this new guy, he's like, "There's this new Basiji man, this guy, he's something else, young man, incredible young man. I don't know who his commander is, but whoever he is, I want him transferred from his department to come over here." So the guy who was there to deliver the report looked over, and he says, "That's Mahdi Baqiri, the commander." He said, "You don't know who that is?" He says, "They ran over, they get him, apologies, oh, we're so sorry." He kissed their faces and reminded them that we're all Basijis. We're all there to serve. So the more that that spirit can be in our hearts, the idea of serving, looking out for these opportunities to serve, feeling a sense of belonging, the better it is for all of us. Inshallah, with that, we end with salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. So brothers and sisters, what we're going to talk about a little bit today, inshallah, if Allah gives tawfiq, are perhaps two more of the verses of Surah Taghabun. So brothers and sisters, if you don't mind, first a reminder, and then after that, let's look at the ayat together. So one of the conclusions that we came to yesterday was that if we can embrace the idea that Allah sees and knows all, God's fair, He has my interest in heart, I'm not just a number to God. If I can embrace the idea of how much God knows, this has a tremendous effect on me being able to submit to His religion and the overall solution, the return of the Imam, right? If the Imam is not here, that's from us. If we want the Imam to return, that means we have to put in the work. What helps us put in the work and thoroughly submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? One of the things was that knowledge that God sees all. God's fair. God's looking out for us. That was one of the conclusions that we came to yesterday. The other conclusion was, of course, we're taking kufr in that very broad sense of not only disbelieving in Allah, which is the ultimate sign of kufr, but also looking at it from the point of view of ingratitude. That the worst type of ingratitude is if someone can deny even the presence of their creator. Real gratitude is to embrace Allah's teachings, the teachings of the Anbiya, and to implement them into our lives. Now we'll go to our verse, and inshallah we'll look for some new reminders, but we start with salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. So brothers and sisters, would you mind turning with me to surah number 64 and verse number 5? 64:5. So if you found the verse, surah Taghabun 5, it reads like this. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Alam ya'tikum naba'u alladhina kafaru min qabl. Has there not come to you the important information regarding those who did kufr before you? And there's one question that comes to mind. Why would Allah tell us about ancient history? He's saying here, that important news, you must know this, that information about those who did kufr before you, the previous generations. Why would God talk to us about ancient history? The thing is that the call of the Anbiya, the call of God's prophets, is there for all of us. We're all being addressed by the Quran. We still have a chance. Those other people were ungrateful when it came to Allah's teaching. So they didn't embrace them. They didn't make the most of it. We still have a chance. So, what they did was they were ungrateful to Allah. Ungrateful to Allah, didn't embrace his teachings, rejected their prophets, wouldn't experience Allah's best, couldn't unlearn what they thought was right and embrace the teachings of Islam at that time. So they suffered. And how did they suffer? They suffered in this world and the next. The Quran tells us, فَذَاقُوا. ذَاقُوا means they tasted. فَذَاقُوا وَبَالَ أَمْرِهِمْ. They tasted the evil consequences of their actions. They got caught right here. وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. And of course, there's a painful punishment waiting for them in the hereafter. What the leader does is he says this. You can say that the Anbiya, they were kind of like doctors. And you find Amirul Mu'mineen referring to our prophet as Tabib, Dawarun Bitibbih, that he was a roaming physician. He has the cure with him. The Anbiya, their job was to take those precious teachings of Allah, those life-saving reminders, and put them at the disposal of the mu'mineen. So the Anbiya, blood, sweat, and tears, would try to make sure that you and I, the people, we were aware of what it is God said so that we could live our best lives. But there was a catch to their mission. Just like a doctor can't cure somebody, the patient has to take the medicine, take this prescription, do the hard work. Although the Anbiya would place it at the disposal of the masses, it was up to the masses, you and I, to embrace that message of the Anbiya and then to experience Allah's best. That didn't happen. In the past, people wouldn't take that message of the Anbiya. Now, I mentioned something else too. You and I, we also see, alhamdulillah, by the grace of God, that the masses here in America are moving. They're watching what's happening. They are very upset. They're protesting. They're disrupting. They're meeting with politicians. They're doing everything that's possible for them. The thing is, they don't all have those teachings of the Anbiya at their disposal. You and I do. That means a responsibility to share. Do we want to see this misery end? Yes, we do. That means the masses need to embrace the message of the Anbiya. Instead of practically doing kufr by not taking the message, the masses need that. Secular activism. I still haven't rejected the culture of the Taghut. But I'm very concerned, and I'm a person of conscience. Is that enough? No. Allah needs to be in the equation. It needs to be faith-based resistance. For the masses, they also need to know that we can't be part of the problem. And this is a message for all of us as well. We can't only be opposed to Netanyahu on the outside. We all have to make sure that we're tackling the Netanyahu within. We can't be in a state of rebellion against God and just trying to fix what's going on in Palestine. This is a step for all of us. All of us have to move towards God. So that's why you and I should not be afraid to have conversations, afraid to talk about God, just repeat what everybody else is saying. We need to go a step further and explain to people that the big picture, this is about God, Allah. You and I have a role to play in this misery. We need to embrace Him. We need to submit to Him. So one part of our message to them and to ourselves first is this idea of addressing the inner Netanyahu. Another very important message that we want to share with everyone, and this one should be very clear for us as well, is this. The prophets were not just here to improve us as individuals, to help us work on our personal akhlaq, to help us better ourselves, to be a better husband, a better wife, a better neighbor, a better person in the workforce. The real solution is when the teachings of the Anbiya, the teachings of God, are there in society. It's not just in our hearts, but rather that Islam needs to rule. The godly need to rule. The Anbiya in their time, after them, the Awsiya, now in our time, the godly, the Fuqaha, Imam Khamenei. The masses are so frustrated because they're trying. They're talking to their elected officials. They're engaging them in conversations. What they're finding is that each one of them has been bought out by AIPAC. Some of them would rush out with Israeli flags before they would rush out with an American flag. Those people are listening to the money. They know who pays their checks and their bills. The system is flawed. Political Islam, the Islam where the Anbiya and the teachings of the Anbiya are in society, is the solution. So one part of it, yes, on a personal level, we do need to address the inner Netanyahu. But the other part is that for you and I to be brave and to talk to people, God needs to rule our lives politically in order for this misery to end. Now, I also want to take a moment, although we were referring to those kuffar, right? Those who had the ayat of Quran, those who rejected God. The ugliest form of kufr, the ugliest form of being ungrateful. But because you and I were trying to derive messages for ourselves, we want to learn ourselves, is there a message, this is true, this verse was referring to those kufar, is there a message, something we can take away from this verse? Are there areas where we could be more grateful? We could be more grateful. Yes. Brothers and sisters, do you remember those ayat of the Quran where Iblis, our enemy, Shaytan, was talking to God? So Allah told him to prostrate. He refused. After that, he started making bellicose threats. He started saying, I'm going to lie in ambush for these guys from their right, from their left. You remember these ayat? One of the things that Shaitan said was very interesting. How did Satan say he was going to win? Did he say, I'm going to get these guys and then they're not going to make salat? I'm going to get these guys, they won't wear hijab. I'm going to get these guys, they won't pay khums. What did he say? His words are interesting, and how Allah narrates them is interesting. Brothers and sisters, can you turn with me? Again, the strategic goal of shaitan is in that message for ourselves. Can you turn with me? Surah 7 and verse number 17. By the way, brothers and sisters, if I'm sharing a verse, if it's not accurate, let me know. So let's read this verse together. What are we talking about? Getting advice from this particular surah for ourselves, reminding ourselves about the importance of gratitude, reminding ourselves about the importance of gratitude. And by doing that, we're going back to where shaitan started out. How was he going to hurt us? He mentioned something over there after he started making his threats. So brothers and sisters, do you guys see Surah 7, 17? Anybody have that? 7, 17? All right. Does the verse read this way? وَلَا تَجِدُ أَكْثَرَهُمْ Did you see this? Anybody? Yes? All right. 7, 17? Okay. Not a different copy of the Quran or anything, inshallah. All right. So 7, 17. Shaitan talking about his... How am I going to win? So he's threatening. I'm going to go left, right. I'm going to destroy these guys. But what did he say he was coming after? He says, Shaitan says, وَلَا تَجِدُ Oh Allah, you will not find أَكْثَرَهُمْ Most of them, شَاكِرِينَ Most of them won't be grateful. That's how I'm going to win. I'm going to do something. These guys won't be grateful. And that's how I'll undo them. So question, are there any areas when it comes to gratitude? Because we don't want to be, those who do kufr, we learn this. Those who do kufr ruin their lives in this world and the hereafter. Can I stop myself from experiencing Allah's best by not being grateful? All of us, brothers and sisters, have been very blessed. All of us have been very blessed. As a believer, as a follower of Ahlul Bayt, I also have to thank the means of Allah's blessings, how I'm getting the blessings. All of us have people in our lives that perhaps we don't appreciate enough. I'll start with myself, but for many of us, if we're honest with ourselves, sometimes we don't tend to appreciate those who are in our lives as much as we should. We don't celebrate them the way that we should. Sometimes when it comes to those in our, for whatever reason, they say familiarity brings contempt. Can I tell you a story that's not true, inshallah? They said once this guy walked into a room. He was a non-Muslim. He walked into a room and he saw another guy and he was playing chess with his dog. Chess. And the other guy was shocked. He said, you're playing chess with your dog? That must be the smartest dog alive. And the guy looked at him. He said, he's kind of dumb, actually. We played 5 games. He only won 2. For whatever reason, sometimes we don't appreciate our own. Those who are in our lives. Those who do a lot of good for us. But part of being grateful to God means that if we want to stay away from kufr, appreciate those who are in our lives. We have good people in our lives. We definitely want to thank them for that. Okay, brothers and sisters, now we're going to move to the next verse. So the next verse, brothers and sisters, is Surah Taghabun, but it's now Surah 64 and verse number 6. Again, we'll read this verse together and see what reminders we can... Allah's going to explain why the misery took place. Why was it? When Allah is sending these anbiya, the anbiya are here to make us experience paradise on earth. Why did so many previous generations suffer? Why isn't Imam Mahdi here? What happened? Let's read the verse. Guys, let's read this. Thalika bi anno. Anybody found it? Surah 64, verse number 6. God says, that is because Thalika bi annahu kana ta'tihim rusuluhum bil bayyinah. Their messengers used to come to those people with clear proof. The methods of the Anbiya, the words of the Anbiya were clear. Everybody can understand what the Prophet's saying. They're speaking with proof. If they're saying, I'm here on behalf of God, they have proof to back it up. Their message is very clear. The Anbiya are telling everybody, don't be slaves of other human beings. Be slaves of Allah. Be slaves of Allah. If people are not slaves of Allah, they become slaves of their nafs. After that, they become slaves of others. We talked about this before. That's a very clear message. Why be a slave? Be free. Live under God. Submit to Him. The Anbiya would come with this very clear message, the way, the solution. Because anybody who's not like that will become a slave of the taghut. Whether it's a rich nation, whether it's a poor nation, whether it's an individual. We've covered some of these hadith before. You and I don't get to be neutral. Either we're slaves of Allah, we submit to Allah, or we will end up serving the others. We will be slaves. The job of the Anbiya was to say, well, be a slave of God. And they came with clear proofs. Everybody wouldn't accept this. What was people's problem? Arrogance. Verse of Quran. So now the response of these people to the prophets. فَقَالُوا They said, أَبَشَرٌ يَهْدُونَنَا Will another human being guide us? These people are so arrogant. I'm too good for the Anbiya. It's not just about the truth. It's about who says it. I'm too good for a regular person to talk to me. I need one of the angels to come. Tell me what God says. That's kibr. That's arrogance. If I'm really humble, if I really submit to Allah, why does it matter who's telling me the truth? Shouldn't I, once the truth is clear for me, no matter what, whether it be for me or against me, shouldn't I embrace it and accept it? By the way, you would see this in our ulama. Inshallah, we have more appreciation for them. In our maraja, I want to tell you two stories about those who became maraja, right? And that humility that was there in their hearts. Hopefully it works on me and it works on you. For us to be humble when we're presented the truth, to be able to accept it. Not like the kuffar. Abasharunya, how can you talk to me? Why are you telling me? Once, one of our greats, his name is Sayyid Hussein Ayatollah, Sayyid Hussein Kukamari, one of our greats. This man was so talented. They talk about his memory, how he was legendary. They used to say that it was abnormal how somebody, so super talented, wonderful. At his prime, he had 800 students who would attend his lessons. In addition to that, his akhlaq, how kind, how good, wonderful man. Now he's teaching class at the highest levels, Bathul Kharij. Sayyid Hussein, Ayatollah, Sayyid Hussein Kukamari, he came to the masjid a little early. Maybe he had gone to see somebody, interacting with someone. He's going to deliver his own Bathul Kharij, but he ends up showing up in the masjid about half an hour early. He notices there's an unassuming sheikh who's there, who's teaching. Unassuming though. Like outwardly, he wasn't, you know, you look back and Allama, no. He's sitting with a small group of students. So he's sitting, Ayatollah Kukamari, and he listens. I'm there for half an hour. He listens. And he's amazed at the delivery of the sheikh. Bathul Kharij at this level? It's so wonderful. I'm benefiting. The Ayatollah, I'm benefiting. He comes again. One day, 2 days, a couple of days. He gets yaqeen. This man is delivering lectures better than me. He understands more than I do. No ego. No arrogance. أَبَشَرٌ يَهْدُونَنَا No. You know what he did? He goes to his class. And he tells the brothers, he says, I have something new to share with you. There's a sheikh here. He's sitting over in that. Who's the sheikh? Sheikh Murtada Al-Ansari. Ayatollah. He didn't know who Sheikh Al-Ansari was. There's this unknown sheikh. He's over there. This guy's delivering it better than him. I benefited from his classes. We all need to go over there. And the Ayatollah becomes a student of Sheikh Murtada Al-Ansari. No ego. Who said it? Why? No. Even Sheikh Murtada Al-Ansari, if you look about his story, so talented. So that particular time when he showed up in that masjid, nobody knew. He had gone abroad, traveled for his study years, so people didn't recognize him. People saw how knowledgeable he was. When they saw how knowledgeable he was, automatically the other ulama assumed the next marja needs to be Sheikh Murtada Al-Ansari. So they approached him, because you know with our maraja, they take it as a sense of responsibility. It's not that, my flock. No. You may be seeing those videos where the leader is saying, no, inshallah, somebody else. Then finally tears in his eyes when they say it's wajib on you. Okay? So the ulama come to Sheikh Murtada Al-Ansari. They say that you're the next marja. Sheikh Murtada remembers something. I had a friend back when I was studying in Karbala. Sa'id al-Ulama, Ayatollah Sa'id al-Ulama. He says, when I was studying, he actually was better in his studies than I was. The ulama are insisting that he become the marja. Ayatollah Sheikh Murtada Al-Ansari writes a letter to his friend. What his friend tells him is this. He says that actually, yes, back in the day, I was very good at my studies. I did have that edge. Now, I have no longer been engaged in studying and teaching. I've left those circles of learning. You now are the most qualified. And then, Sheikh Murtada Al-Ansari, he takes the responsibility of marja'iyya. So, brothers and sisters, we'll just read the, because we have 23 seconds less. Let's just at least read the ayah for thawab, and then inshallah we'll end. So, those people said, Abasharun yahdunana, can a human being guide us? Fakafaru, and then they did kufr. Watawallaw, and they turned back. Wastaghna Allah, does Allah need you and I? If we do good, does that benefit God? If he's giving this message through the Anbiya, does he need us? No. وَاسْتَغْنَى اللَّهُ. And Allah was free of need. وَاللَّهُ غَنِيٌّ حَمِيدٌ. The God that we worship is a God who is غَنِي. He is free of all need. And he is حَمِيد. He is praiseworthy. We end, brothers and sisters, with salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.